AM 950, the Progressive, the Matt McNeil Show on your Friday. Sven Sundgaard from Bring Me the News and Premier Living has generally joined us on Thursdays, but this week he joins us on a Friday to talk a little bit about the storms we had and the storms that are going to be coming on up. Hey, Sven, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I did lose a little sleep last night. Those storms came in. Oh, yeah, they came through with some power. I mean, and once again, once you look out and you see what nature is unfolding right in your own neighborhood, it becomes kind of the best must-see TV you can have because it really is truly amazing what nature can do.
Yeah, I slept right through it. But, it did wake up a lot of people. I live downtown, though, so I'm used to noise, and I sleep with a fan on, so I'm not going to hear anything unless it's, it'd have to be real substantial. But, it did wake up a lot of people.
It sounds like National Weather Service is now saying two tornadoes did hit Burnsville Apple Valley. At one point with this, I think it was the second line of storms here, there was some concern that there were quite a few cell areas that could develop into that, correct?
Yeah, so we had those two rounds. The first round was earlier in the evening, between about 6 and 9 p.m., and there was a tornado warning on part of that line of storms for a while. I don't think it ever produced anything, but it was, in a pretty remote area there of north central Minnesota, where if it did touch down briefly, we're relying on either spotters who would be able to see it or obviously somebody would have to see that damage, and it's just very difficult to do. Actually, I'm just pulling up. They did say, oh no, not tornado, but funnel cloud. Yeah. So we saw lots of pictures of that. I was just trying to refresh some of the reports. That second round of storms developed in South Dakota and started producing strong winds right just west of Sioux Falls. And then it continued through southwestern Minnesota right into the metro. And, unfortunately, people may have heard that a four-year-old did die last night.
Yeah.
They were camping. A tree branch fell on a tent. Kind of a nightmare scenario. This is an area where we all like to camp in the summer months. And, this is always a possibility. And, of course, that is one thing. But even in your home, this is sort of the worst-case dangerous scenario, is to have this kind of weather. It was between 3 and 4 in the morning. Most of us are fast asleep. In my old life, I would have been awake at that time, but not most people are. What probably happened were these gustnadoes that developed, because you do have a line of strong winds. Even the airport measured a 64-mile-an-hour wind gust at 3:18 in the morning. St. Paul, the airport there, Holman Field, picked up a 60-mile-an-hour gust. So those are severe gusts. That's enough to knock down big branches or even trees. And remember, we're in the opposite problem that we had much of the summer. Parts of the metro have pretty wet soil, and so it's easier to topple over trees. And what happens is on the edges of these wind gusts, you can get these tornadoes to develop. They're not usually as strong as what you'd see in a supercell, a more organized storm, but they can definitely do some damage. If the wind itself is 60, 70 miles an hour, there's no reason that these gustnadoes can't be of similar strength. And that's why the Weather Service goes out the next day to determine what happened. Most of us saw straight line wind damage throughout the South Metro. It's basically pretty much all the reports line up just south of the Mississippi River or close to it as you get towards Invergrove Heights and Mendota Heights. But I know in Cottage Grove, where my brother lives, there's a lot of power outages there. And in Hudson, their public library lost part of its roof.
Yeah.
So there was some substantial damage. It was noisy for most of us, but it really seems like it was the South Metro. As you're talking about Burnsville, Eagan, Lakeville, over towards Cottage Grove, basically, in Hudson, Wisconsin, that saw the brunt of this.
Are we seeing more abnormal wind storms, wind events that are happening? Because, let's face it, I guess we expect these kind of storms in May, maybe June, September. I've been in enough sports fields in fall now with my kids that usually this is a dry month. I can't remember much of this happening. We had that storm that hit Iowa, was it last year? We had the storms that hit Minnesota, Wisconsin earlier this year. Are we seeing more extraordinary wind events start to pick up?
Well, this year actually is, many things that are odd about this year, and some of them are weather. We had the severe weather of this season is actually our lowest we've had in two decades. This is the least active, and it kind of makes sense. We had the worst drought since 1988, so it makes sense that it would be some of the least activity since 2000. But we are seeing severe weather season extend a little more because we're seeing warmer periods. You know, I think we talked about this spring, the new 30-year normals. Some of the biggest changes were in September and December, some of our fastest warming months. And so that would stand to reason then that we're seeing an extension of the August severe weather season into September. And actually, it is late summer, August, that we tend to see these kinds of wind events that do happen sometimes late at night. I know because working a morning show where I was up at 2-3 in the morning routinely, that these things tend to happen late at night. If they develop out in South Dakota, and they do often hold together, by the time they reach the metro, it's in those wee hours of the morning, and you always worry about, you know, how many people are paying attention. That's why, you know, the Weather Service says this too. The best thing you can do is radio or download one of these apps on your phone that will alert you in the case of some of this impending weather. But, you know, it's hard too when you're in a dead sleep and all of a sudden something goes off and you have to react, you can imagine. But particularly, I would say campers, anybody who's camping in our region should have some way of staying abreast of the situation. And obviously that's hard in a place like the Boundary Waters if you're in an isolated spot, but it's about the best we can do.
But it brings up an interesting question, because when I was a kid, you'd always go camping, you had a weather radio with you. And it seemed like that was something that the Forest Service or something like that would always be broadcasting on some AM frequency and they'd have it out there. Are they still doing that, or has everything really gone down to cell phones now?
I think they still do it. And, you know, they do have receivers that I think cover much of the Boundary Waters and Superior National Forest for that, you know, emergency reason. But there are still pockets of that area that, you know, you avoid pretty much all communication. So, you know, you are traveling at your own risk. And I don't know about you, but I've been deep in the Boundary Waters during some pretty nasty storms at, you know, 2 a.m. and you're thinking, gosh, should I, you know, jump to the lake? Am I safer out there, or am I safer on land with these gigantic trees that, you know, hopefully there's just so many of them that the other trees catch one if it falls?
That's a big hope.
What a nightmare. Yeah, you know, exactly. But like, I don't want to jump into the middle of Seagull Lake during a wind event either. That, you know, would be like the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah. The one thing I will say, and by the way, if you're not, you should be following Sven's YouTube channel, but you also should be following his Twitter feed and social media. You are still getting, and I love this, you do get a lot of people sending in your cloud weather pictures to you. You've had quite a few. The cloud formations we saw with this storm were pretty extraordinary too.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah. There are a ton, and that's how, you know, if I paid attention to nothing else, that's how I know something's going on, is just based on what I'm being sent by people. And a lot of people saw these Mimatis clouds, which are not unusual. There's always somebody who says, I've never seen these before. And I'm like, well, you probably weren't paying attention then, because they are somewhat common. Anytime we get a strong storm, you usually get these ahead of or behind the storm, because it's basically, imagine the air rises into the storm and then it's got to come out, you know, in sort of all directions around the storm. And as that cool, dry air tries to descend, upper level winds sort of smooth it out, and you're literally seeing pockets of air trying to descend, cool air. They look ominous. Untrained eye, people are like, oh my God, are these just a series of funnel clouds? They're not. But it is usually the sign that there is a strong storm nearby, or it was at one time. But yeah, a lot of people saw those. You know, I posted in my videos today and retweeted, I think, at some point last night. Joe Nelson, Bring Me the News, loves to amateur storm chase, and he saw the funnel cloud from that storm just north of Little Falls yesterday evening. There's some pretty cool photos a few people got of those as well. But yeah, it's got everybody's attention. It made for some pretty sights. The one thing that was unique about the Mimatis clouds we saw yesterday, though, that I haven't seen before, is they were kind of in striations, rows, rather than just more of a random clump of Mimatis clouds. And that's sort of the ripples of wind. We had a lot of shear in the atmosphere, which is why some of those storms were able to rotate last night.
Pretty remarkable. And you brought up the wind damage that was done at the airport. I think a few of the planes got tossed around out there, and that the poor library over in Hudson, it sounds like Richfield also got some. And then of course, South Metro, it does put it in perspective. When we don't have buildings here that are designed for, you know, tropical storm hurricane winds on a consistent basis. I mean, they're pretty well built, but they're not built for that. and that yet we saw the damage that happens when a hurricane hits. We should mention we do have their latest tropical storm did finally develop out on the East Coast. Odette is now there. It doesn't look like it's going to affect too much of the American or Canadian coast, but poor Greenland. This is going to be like their third hurricane or tropical storm they're going to get up in Greenland.
Well, yeah, and I don't know if people saw that the remnants of remind me the name now. It's hard to keep track of them. We're like 20 in. That dumped all the rain on New York. I'm having a blank right now. Mm. Anyway, it was the last one. Dumped a ton of snow. It'd be a blizzard for Greenland. And so much so that they said, for the first time in a long time, and it's very temporary, Greenland actually has a net balance in its ice content on the ice sheet. That's how much snow fell, you know, where it's rapidly been losing it, of course, especially in the summer months. But so much snow fell. I mean, you can imagine you have a tropical system moving into a polar region like that. It's just going to dump a ton of snow, and it's just incredible.
Wow.
But yeah, the Atlantic is getting active, and we just reached the halfway point this week. We've had 17 named storms that have made landfall in the last 17 months. The average is 3. So it's been 2 active seasons in a row. And the Hurricane Center is watching 2 systems way out that we do have to be paying attention to. Some cyclones that are developing between Africa and the Caribbean right now. They give a 70% chance of one of these developing into a named cyclone in the next 48 hours. And so I have a feeling we're going to be hearing about those. So we're only halfway through the season. And it's been an active one for the first half. No reason to think with all the heat that's out there that the second half won't be too.
And the last thing, I just want to, the poor folks in Louisiana, and you know, not only did they get hammered by that one storm that made landfall there, but then this latest one, and it's all of a sudden you get
it just
poured on them. I mean, if another storm hits in the way that they're developing in the Gulf of Mexico, I'm not going to be surprised if another one hits them. You know, it's almost like, okay, maybe you guys should move. We should just get you guys out of here because I can't see how many people could go through this. And this just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, and as we talked about, they went into hurricane season, a foot and a half above normal for rainfall for some of those areas. So it is just saturated. And that's an area already that is just set up for disaster because it's so close to sea level and relatively flat. Yeah, it's halfway through the season. There's no reason to think that there won't be a few more, and it's just going to be a mess. And that whole area, Houston too, we all saw what Hurricane Harvey did 4 years ago. So, Gulf of Mexico, one of those areas that I put in my top 10 list of places that with climate change is going to be really particularly vulnerable and a place where people will probably be moving out of over time because you can only take that so long. I had an aunt and uncle who lived in New Orleans for 25 years, loved the city, loved the culture. Hurricane season was a normal way of life, you know, and they were, you know, lucky enough to have the means to be able to board up and leave when something was coming. But, you know, it was the triple whammy of, you know, first Katrina, and then you had Rita, and then you had another active season. It was just like enough, you know, and just seeing how things were not recovering at the pace that they wanted to, so they moved back here. And my aunt was excited to see snow and winters again. I think she's finally getting sick of that now, about 11 years later. But
it's coming. The snow is coming. Although this weekend, I will say, how is there a chance we're going to hit 90?
I think a very good chance.
Really?
My thermodynamic model that I made in college and still use to forecast temperatures gives us a high of 91 on Sunday if it's completely clear. We'll probably have a few high clouds, but, you know, it's going to be very close. I think we will be, you know, yesterday we hit 88 degrees. It was our warmest day in 3.5 weeks. You have to go back to August before Labor Day was the last time we saw that. And we're going to be very close to that Sunday and Monday. Sunday probably our best chance because we do have a front coming through Monday that is going to touch off potentially some more severe weather. We're going to have to keep our eye on it because what's unusual, we're heading into the time of year that usually when it gets hot, 80s plus, it's usually a dry heat, but it's going to get humid. I mean, Sunday and Monday, it's going to feel like July or early August again. We're talking mid to upper 80s, dew points in the 60s. So there's going to be all the ingredients for potentially severe storms again Monday. This time, hopefully, it looks like more of a, you know, typical late afternoon, evening scenario. And then we're talking about really our first blast of cool fall weather. You know, we've had a random day here or there that's been kind of cool. You know, like today felt cool, but it was actually normal. The normal high now is 72, which is what we hit. But we're talking about a string of 60s potentially next week. And another thing we're looking for that we haven't done yet, which is insane, we have not dropped below 50 yet, officially in the Twin Cities at the airport. That normally should happen sometime at the end of August if we look at the historical average. So this will be a few weeks later than normal. I think we're going to get very close tonight. It is going to be a chilly night tonight with this somewhat cooler air behind last night's storms, clear skies tonight, most of us in the 40s. But it looks like we'll probably have a couple of those chilly nights next week. And that is what's finally, I think, going to shake some of our trees here in the southern part of the state to really turn color, because that those cold nights is what really accelerates things.
I saw that a little bit. And by the way, and we should mention, if you, I will post your latest weather forecast on the social media a little bit later on. Is the fact that we are in September, and when we get cold fronts, I'm going to guess these cold fronts now have a lot more bite to them. Is that when if we get, I mean, I saw your models that said humidity is going to build up, heat's going to build up. Is that, I mean, how dangerous is that? Because, I mean, if you get a real cold front that comes out of Canada, that's, you know, a kind of a normal cold front, that's a pretty substantial drop in temperature. I'm presuming that that's where the problem comes in.
Yeah, we, you know, and that's the reason why the early part of the summer season is usually the most severe for us when we're not in a drought. You know, May, June is usually the peak of our severe weather season. And further south, you know, it's earlier in the spring. It's because you're starting to heat things up. You know, in the spring, things are heating up rapidly because you have strong sun, but you still definitely have some cold left. It's a little less of a severe scenario this time of year because the cold is developing. So no matter what comes through September, October, it's not going to be as cold as what you'd have in the spring. But we do have some, as we're seeing Sunday, some lingering heat that combined with, yeah, there's a bigger temperature difference than our fronts that come through and say, July and August. So, you know, remember the Arctic finally has darkness now. It just started a couple weeks ago. So cool air is rapidly developing, but there's just so much heat in the Northern Hemisphere this year that it will probably take some time to really cool things off. That's why we're seeing a delay in everything. You know, this cool snap coming next week is really nothing. We're talking about 5 to 7 degrees below normal only.
And so we're looking at cool tonight, warm over the weekend, but
beautiful
then
tomorrow afternoon. Yeah, okay. 75, close to 90, though Sunday it's going to be windy, hot, humid. Sunday warm and humid with those storms in the afternoon. And then, yeah, we will probably stay in the 60s for highs Tuesday, Wednesday with some overnight lows in the 40s. And I also want to remind people that the autumnal equinox, that comes on Wednesday.
Okay.
And we are only 4.5 weeks away from the date last year where we had that blizzard. October 20th. So
delightful.
Keep that in mind.
Thank you for that.
Hopefully we don't have a repeat of that.
It was
a cool September last year, though.
Oh, so. It was. One last plug for you here. I believe this is up on your Premier Living site. You did a breakdown on the drought and drought conditions. Some numbers there, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And I have to update that every week on Thursdays. We get the new drought monitor information. And I added to it this week a timeline of the historical record for Minnesota back to 1895. Okay. And you can see our wet years and dry years. It's a cool timeline. And I added some dates of interest, like the 1988 drought, the fact that we almost forgot that 2 years ago, 2019 was our wettest year ever. But then also some of things like the 1918 Moose Lake fire, and the Baudette fire of 1910. Those were years of some extreme drought. And, you know, of course, the Dust Bowl years, you can really see the extreme precipitation pattern of our state here over the last 126 years.
I'll make sure I'll link in the latest weather forecast. I'll link in Premier Living. Of course, follow Sven over on YouTube as well as also on Twitter. Sven Sundgaard, great to talk with you, my friend. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week,
you
okay?
You too.
All right. We'll come back. I got to dance. It's the weekend. We'll come on back to that. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.